Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore. We're back with our 11th level 33.1. I have three guests with me for this conversation. We have Mr. Chris Fuchs.
Hello, hello.
Mr. Casey Cochran.
What's up?
And Mr. Darren Kirscht.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What is up, my friends? And we are recording this the night of DC Fandom, a day long remembered, a week long remembered by fans of DC Multimedia, I think. So that gives us an easy topic to discuss in this 33.1. First of all, guys, did everybody get a chance to watch some, if not all, or what you wanted to watch, at least, of Fandom? What about you, Chris? Let's start with you.
I watched actually a lot more than I expected. I had it on in the background all day. Got to check in on more panels than I expected to watch and definitely enjoyed it.
Great. What about you, Casey?
I had it on most of the day, but then I turned it off from around maybe 5 to 7:30 or so. When I turned it back on, they had this CNN Real Heroes thing going on.
Turned it back on for the Batman, huh?
Yep.
Great. I look forward to talking about that. And Darren, what about you, man?
Sam, I watched quite a bit today. Like Casey, I kind of jumped off after the Snyder Cut one and came back to watch the Batman. I missed out on the Shazam one. I did catch a lot of the stuff online, though, like on Twitter, of all like the news and the concept art and stuff like that. So.
Great, great. Yeah, I like y'all. I had you kind of make that schedule or whatever on their DC Fandom website, and I picked out the stuff that I wanted to watch, and I ended up leaving it on for most of the day as well. I just tuned in for, was paid more attention to some stuff, walked away for other things, and I mean saw all the big ones. It sounds like we all did, so it's great. So we'll have some common ground to discuss here. And the great thing is, you know, they of course released all these trailers and other things they were talking about right afterward, as they do at conventions now. So the whole idea of this was, hey, it's a remote convention. I'm not sure exactly when they came up with this idea for Fandome, but I think it was a really smart idea. And hey, it's a day where everybody was paying attention to DC Comics and what they were putting out there. So I think that's a cool, just like plant your flag in the ground. Hey, DC Fandome. And what was interesting to me was earlier this week, we got some major news about something that we had all been hoping for a long time. And it actually, two bits of news. The second part of news just kind of slid in after the first one, but Batfleck's coming back, everybody, for Flashpoint. Like, that is, as I'm on record here many, many times, that's the one thing I wanted, one thing I cared about the DCEU, like more than anything, Batfleck coming back. And we're getting it after being told for years that I'm a loser fan, I need to get over it, and he's never coming back, and blah, 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 blah. Here he is, he's coming back. And also, Michael Keaton was confirmed in that article as well by the director of Flashpoint. So, because let's not forget, Michael Keaton was like a rumor. You know, it was never a press release or anything. And it's just, they just act like it's like, oh yeah, well, yeah, he's joining Michael Keaton in the Flashpoint movie. And the Andy Muschietti, who directed the It movies and other things, who's directing Flashpoint. He's like the fourth director on The Flash, which is a reason why I just kind of stopped caring about that movie for a while, because it was just this merry-go-round of development hell. But hey. I mean, so that's huge. That's bigger than any of the news from DeFantom, I think. I mean, as far as I'm concerned. But Darren, let's start with you, man. What are your thoughts on Batfleck coming back and Keaton being official?
Well, you and I are in the same boat in terms of Batfleck. I got your back.
Thank you.
I think we both have always been really, really big on Batfleck and wanting him to come back. Because, I mean, just that standalone, what was supposed to happen with him being – with him developing and doing his version of the Batman before that kind of fell through. Like, that was kind of like that sinking feeling in my gut. But hearing that come back, it's just like, you know, it's between that and today, it's almost like a dream come true.
That's the thing about like the Batman, we'll get there, right? But that was supposed to be Affleck's movie. You know, that's why it's like, it's mm-hmm. We'll get into it. But yeah, it's important to remember that he's coming back in this Flashpoint movie. We don't know how big or how small his part's going to be. I don't expect a large role, right? This is not a Batman solo movie, right? He'll be in it for, you know, a couple scenes, maybe as Bruce Wayne. I think they probably have one sequence of Batman, I would hope, but I'll be happy with anything, really, just the continuity of the character. So, Casey, what about you, man? What are your thoughts on Batfleck coming back and Keaton for sure coming back?
Honestly, I wasn't even 100% sure it was true because the only thing I saw about it was from a YouTube video that I got as a notification. You just can't trust news from YouTube. So I'm glad he's coming back, but I wasn't even 100% sure it was true.
But now that you are sure, you're happy about it.
Yes.
Very good. You can stay. all right, Chris, what about you?
I agree. I'm happy he's coming back. And when they have these controversial, in quotes, castings like that, I always wonder like what I thought about originally. And it actually just so happens that I think today is the anniversary that they announced that he was going to be Batman.
You're right, yeah.
And I had like a Facebook memory where I posted like, I'm going to go out there and say I'm excited about this. I'm optimistic. So I want to say that I've always been a little bit of a fan of Batfleck. So I'm on board. I want more. As to what he might do in The Flash, I think they mentioned today in the panel that when they talked about, when they showed the new suit that The Flash is going to be having, they say that Batman, his friend Bruce Wayne, helped him create it. So that might be a piece that comes up in there.
But which one? Was it Michael Keaton's or was it Ben Affleck's Bruce Wayne that made that suit?
I'm going to assume it's Ben Affleck because he said his friend Batman, and that's the one that knows and kind of recruited him.
It was also kind of talked about for Justice League for the before that all kind of went crazy with Joss Whedon and all that. Like back when they were originally shooting it, I think it was from the set visit, they were talking about how they were pretty certain he was going to have another suit at the end. But I think Zach decided to take that out to let the filmmaker, who was whoever it was at that point in time, make their own suit from Bruce Wayne. So,
I mean, I've never really been a fan of the Ezra Miller suit, to be honest. The Flash costume, I gotta say, like, my favorite is still John Wesley Shipp's. Like, I know it's like overly muscular, but it's like, other than the boots, which are red, but whatever, that's like straight out of the comic book, The Flash to me. And all the iterations of the Grant Gustin one have been like getting there. And finally, you know, in the last, you know, season 6-ish of The Flash, they have a great Flash costume now, I think, for him. It took a long time, but I think they finally found it. What's the most exciting to me, though, in this, okay, so they had their Flash panel today. That kind of can segue into that conversation for DC Fandom. And then we'll kind of jump around all the other ones we want to talk about. Because that was the news of the week for me, anyway. My two favorite live-action Batman are coming back in a movie, which is insane.
Yes.
Right? I mean, what are we talking about? Like, 1992 was the last time we saw Michael Keaton, and then, you know, Affleck, we've been heard for years that he's done, he's never coming back, and here he is. But also very important to point out that people are like, he's done with Batman, he's burned out, right? Well, now he's in a better place of life, right? He's been, you know, he's had some struggles in his personal life that I've seen life things to turn around for him. He's a better mental place. He's in a better place physically and mentally. So, and he's been a Batman fan, and they gave him the script and he read it and he wants to be in it. So this could be a one and done. This could be closing off. It very well may be for Batfleck, right? But anything is possible. Anything's on the table. If there's more with him, great. I would love it. If there's not, too bad. But the fact that he's coming back after all this drama is huge to me. Now I think he's going to have a small part. If they're doing Flashpoint, I think he's going to be like the Batman Bruce Wayne at the beginning, and then Ezra Miller's going to go do his thing and end up in Michael Keaton universe, you know, and then that's going to be the main Batman he's with throughout most of the movie. And then he comes back, and is it going to be Pattinson when he comes back? I don't know. I don't know if they're going to connect those or not. I don't think so.
No.
So Jared, do you think Affleck's going to be like the bookends? Like, will he come back to Ben Affleck still as Batman, or what do you think?
Like you, I do think it's a smaller role, maybe a couple scenes. I don't know. I have a feeling that it's probably going to, and this is just a complete guess, but
yeah,
I think
this is all conjecture.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. My guess from everything I've heard from the different outlets and whatnot, I have a feeling that it's going to be in the beginning of the movie, like early on before he time travels. Barry's going to have that conversation with Bruce. And then what he's going to go on the time travel, and then he's going to be with Keaton for the movie, like you said. And I think when he comes back at the end of the movie, he'll be gone. It'll be done.
But who's there? Like, nobody? Or
I have no idea. Maybe it's Keaton. Maybe it rolls into one. I don't know.
That would be interesting. Because Keaton, I mean, it would be an alternate universe, not an alternate timeline, right? That's the whole thing. But so they got to change it up somehow from Flashpoint. But it's interesting. The possibility is very interesting. So Chris, what about you, man? What are your hopes to see in here, knowing what we know?
I don't know that I have any hope expectation. I think I'm just going to take what they give me. I think that they saw how well it worked on TV with the Crisis and bring the different pieces in. I think they're going to try and replicate some form of that, because they talked about that in the panel today, like what they can do with all the different movies. They talked about the old Superman movies and Catwoman and like all sorts of things coming together, and I think that they may try and play on that a little bit. I'm just going to hope that it looks good when it comes out.
Now, Casey, have you read Flashpoint or seen the movies or anything? Are you familiar with Flashpoint at all, Casey?
I have seen the animated movie Flashpoint. Mm-hmm.
So is this something you're excited to see for this Flash movie?
Honestly, I've been hearing about a Flash movie for so long now. I'm just ready for it to happen. I'm kind of tired of waiting for it, you know?
I understand. I mean, like, if you look at that original slate for DCEU, which came out after Man of Steel but before BVS.
That was incredibly ambitious.
That was, I believe, April 2018 was when The Flash was supposed to come out. Here we are, right? I don't, like, for The Flash, right, I love the original John Wesley Shipp show. I love the first season, maybe the first two seasons of the current CW Flash show. So I get there's plenty of Flash out there, like, to see him fight, like, the Mirror Master or stuff, right? For the epic stuff, they really don't have the budget or the character access. Or maybe they do now. I don't know, right? But to do on television, because they tried Flashpoint, but it was very minimal. So I'm all for seeing this, because to me, The Flash is a means to an end here, this Flashpoint movie. This is like, we need to work in multiverse. We want to put in Michael Keaton. We want to give Affleck a goodbye. We want to do all these things. And he's the character to do it, right? He time travels. He goes through parallel universes, right? And I mean, there's a huge story called Flashpoint. Much like they adapted, quote unquote, the death of Superman or, you know, World's Finest in BVS. That's them adapting Flashpoint here. That's just a name they're going to... Like, Marvel does the same thing. Winter Soldier? Infinity War? These are not what the comic books were of those things. So
Civil War, too.
Civil War, huge example, right? So I'm not going to be upset that they're taking the first Flash movie and making it this, nor am I going to be upset that it's not going to match the comics. But, you know, to your point, Chris, you know, something they did talk about in the multiverse panel, which ties into this, is this was so great to hear, like, because we had, I forget his name, but whoever's in charge of this stuff now, Walter Hamada? Walter Hamada, Greg Berlanti, and Jim Lee. The three of them were on this multiverse panel, and they were talking about how for years, Warner Brothers was like, TV over here, movies over there. Can't, never the two shall meet. We can't have, Smallville countered that all the time, right? It was like, no, you can't use that guy. You can't use this guy. Arrowverse encountered it. Ray Palmer was supposed to be Ted Kord. The Atom was supposed to be Blue Beetle. But you guys remember that Blue Beetle movie that came out a few years ago? I don't. But for some reason, the movie division was like, no, you can't use him. Deathstroke and the Suicide Squad became popular on Arrow. So then they made movies with them or planned to. So they couldn't use them
Harley
anymore.
Quinn, right?
Harley Quinn was supposed to be on that Suicide Squad. Tara Strong did the voice for that body double that was in the cell. So now it seems like they're like, well, this is dumb. Finally, what have we been saying for years as fans, right? So I think that's really exciting. I don't know what form that's going to take. I mean, Ezra Miller showing up in Christ on Earth was the gateway to everything. And I've said on Twitter and I think on a podcast maybe that I think that scene will be in the Flash movie. I hope it is. Like, just randomly in there. It might feel weird to people who don't know what that is, but I think them filming it in the aspect ratio they did and having them together, maybe why Ezra's running through the Speed Force, he just pops into that, and it's weird, and then he moves on. But I think that would be a huge thing of connecting everything like they're talking about.
So does that bring the CW-verse into the movie multiverse?
I mean, I don't know, right? I mean, like, I don't think they need to.
That Crisis spanned everything. So
I would to that point, I would love to see Brandon Routh involved in any of this in some capacity. I'd love to see him back as Superman, either in a movie or on a TV show, or I just want more of him as Superman. I don't care how you get it, and that would be a good way to do it. But I'm glad. I don't know why for years, decades even, right? W was like, oh no, they wouldn't even let them use Batman characters on Justice League Unlimited because of the Chris Nolan movies. I'm like, that makes no sense. Like, no one's going to get confused. They call it the Bat Embargo. That's why there's no Batman villains in Justice League anymore after, like, halfway through. It's like, am I going to be confused that the Joker is on the cartoon? But it just doesn't make any sense. So, to me, that's very exciting. Although, the Flash panel itself was kind of like, I don't know what I was expecting. It was kind of a letdown because I'm like, we got news that Ben Affleck was going to be in this movie and it's nowhere anywhere mentioned. I mean, maybe they filmed this 3 weeks ago before. That's probably what it was because this is all pre-recorded.
These were all pre-filmed. You could just tell by Grant Gustin's beard because he had this like full thick quarantine beard and then he's been posting about the fandom all week saying he's excited for it and he's clean shaven and everything.
Taking a step back then, what did you guys think of DC fandom? Because obviously it was all pre-produced, but I think that was smart because as we all know, doing things live, especially on the internet, can come crashing and burning. So I think it was all pretty slick. They had very short time periods. So that was one, I guess, if I had one complaint, it'd be like, man, like Black Adam got 10 minutes and then, for example, right? But I will say I was a little frustrated earlier this week when they literally 4 days before today, they announced, oh, remember when we were going to do everything in one day? We're splitting it up between 2 days. That frustrated me because I'm like, you guys announced everything, released a schedule, encouraged everyone to make their schedule, and then changed it. So I don't know. What do you think, Darren? Does that bother you? Or are you like, that's fine. It all worked out okay.
I think it worked out okay. I mean, there was so much stuff that's already today that we're already talking about.
I'm already exhausted.
and then it was just split between the movies and the television. Is that correct?
More or less. They plugged in a couple holes with some TV stuff, but those TV segments they did are going to be expanded in the TV day. So that's correct. Today was basically the cinema day. Correct.
Okay. Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really cool. I didn't have any problem with that splitting up or anything. So there's already so much that we're already talking about.
Yeah,
that's true. Already hugely trending and stuff. Like, I feel like it's still a really big success, and it gives them a chance to have that kind of success again with the next one. I think it's September, right?
Sometime? Yeah. Yeah, I believe it's September
12th.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Chris. So, Chris, did you enjoy fandom, like, on the whole, like, technically and schedule-wise, and did you like what they're putting down today?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I'm going to have to agree that I think splitting up was a good idea, because even coming into this, I didn't know how much of it I'd actually get to watch,
right.
And if there was twice as much, it would have been a lot harder.
Yeah, you have to flip through chat, like, the different streams or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that they had a lot of it. They had enough big things today, big releases, to keep everybody happy, and so it's not like you don't feel like you're missing something and you have to wait for it, kind of.
Right.
Unless there's something specific that you wanted to see that now we're in the 12th, but for the most part, I think they gave you a lot.
Cool. Casey, what about you?
It looked like they executed it pretty well. The only thing complaint I had was that you had to go to a website to get to it. I mean, they have a DC Universe app, and I mean, I know, you know, the members pay for that, but couldn't they have at least, you know, made a way where you could open, like, you could get the app and then just stream it through the app, whether you had a membership or not? But I mean, other than that, I'm just being nitpicky. My phone has a mirror option, so I finally just did that.
Cool.
But other than that, it was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there were no big technical snafus, right? Nothing, you know. So I mean, this was all like pre-done and so smart on them. I, you know, my only issue was, again, like, I wish had they said from the jump, like, this is going to be today and this is going to be a month from now, or this is going to be Saturday, this is going to be Sunday. I'm like, okay, they've thought this through. But you know, as we always joke about DC, like, don't think anything through, plan this stuff out. It's like, oh, we're changing it all. So, you know, I'm like, all right, fine. But no, it all worked out. And you're right. I mean, there's so much from today just to unpack, period. If you had twice as much, it'd be overwhelming. And a lot of stuff would get lost in the shuffle. And, you know, as you said, Darren, like, stuff is trending. You don't want it to compete with other news. So, it was smart. They should have just done two different days from the jump. That's my only point. So, but anyway, I was thinking maybe, like, the Affleck announcement changed things. But all this was pre-recorded, and, you know, they didn't even mention. So, yeah, getting to the Flash panel, I guess, again, they didn't mention Affleck or Keaton at all. What they did was they played the Danny Elfman music, like, he might meet some other Batman in the universe, and they're really coy about it. And then you see the production art of the new Flash suit, which was designed by Batman, they say. And then they zoom out of the production art, and it's Michael Keaton's Batman in his costume. And I was amazed. Apparently, a lot of people thought Michael Keaton was coming back and being in a bat suit. I didn't think so. I thought he was going to be in a chair, like Batman Beyond or something, right? Or in a robot suit for like a scene. No, that's the Michael Keaton Batman. Now, I don't know if, you know, that's production art. Things can change. We all have followed movies and know how they change. But that tells me that we're going to see Michael Keaton in his bat suit, and that is amazing to me. I mean, I'm used to heroes not wearing suits, you know, like Tom Welling. So I didn't think about Michael Keaton wearing a bat suit. So Michael Keaton's Batman and Ezra Miller's Flash really got me excited. What did you guys think about that when you saw that?
I didn't see the Flash panel.
Did you see the artwork yet?
No.
Have you not been on the Always Home in the Smallville Twitter today?
I have not.
What have you doing with your life today, Casey? Come on.
I was working a lot of overtime today, so I was listening to the...
Fair enough. All right,
I was listening
got me
while working.
Fair enough. So, okay, Chris, what did you think of the Michael Keaton artwork, if you even had an opinion?
No, it looks cool. I'm excited to see what they do with it.
I mean, it was only that one picture, but you know, I know
there's
shot
two. There's two. I think there's two of them.
Yes. Yeah, so, okay. So there was one with Keaton. There's one just of the new Flash costume, which is a huge improvement from what he was wearing, I think.
Yeah. The spacesuit.
But I get, you know, they haven't shot anything. So what else are they going to show? I guess. But I don't know, man. Like this script and movie has been in flux so much. I'm very curious to see what they do with it. And like, if we're gonna, because they're going into the Burton verse, Earth 89 has been designated, right? I wonder what else we're going to see. Are we going to see a Batmobile that looks like that one? I mean, it's 30 years later, so I would expect it to look... I want it to be recognizable enough, but obviously, I don't want it just to be Michael Keaton in an unrecognizable world. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want it to look like, oh, like, that looks like it could be the Burton verse 30 years later. And I don't really know how
just,
to do that.
Just put him in the corner of a room and turn the lights down. It looks close enough, right?
Have the library with the giant bat signal. So
yeah, and you just need some steam coming out of the sewers.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what else. Like everyone, all the villains are dead. Michelle Pfeiffer, I guess they could bring back in some capacity. I don't know, but I want to, as you know, we've talked about here before on this very podcast. I wanted to there be a Batman Beyond movie next. So I will want Ezra Miller to leave, and then we're done. But then we have a movie at some point that follows up on the Michael Keaton. That's what I'd like to see.
Do you follow Grace Randolph?
I do. I do.
Did you see what? Did you see what she said about the potential? What she had heard about the Batman Beyond stuff?
What? No, was it Batgirl?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that is a terrible idea. Because that's my opinion. Because like, I want Batgirl to be Batgirl, Barbara Gordon, and I want Batman Beyond to be Terry McGinnis. Like Batman Beyond. Batman Beyond is a brand. Like I mean, we're all around the same age, right? We all remember Batman Beyond, you know, Terry McGinnis. Like it was the idea was like, what is teenage Batman of the feet? But it was amazing. Like it was so cool. And that's what that is. Don't turn something else into that. That's my point. Like, sure, yeah, do I want to see Batgirl? Of course. I'm gonna see the whole Bat family, right? But I don't want to see Barbara Gordon as Batman Beyond. So yeah, no, I've heard those rumors floating around as well. I don't know. Sometimes she's right about stuff, sometimes she's not. We'll see. As we can see, things change, right? So, yeah. To quote Michael Keaton's Batman, things change. So, that's where I want to see with Flashpoint. I don't, because the thing, right, the whole emotional core of Flashpoint, though, at the end, is he comes back and he gives Bruce Wayne the letter from his dad. But that's off the table now. That's not happening. There's no Jeffrey Dean Morgan Thomas Wayne. So, I don't know what they're going to, I don't know what the bookends are, you know? Like you said, Darren, he comes back to, and there's no Batman anymore. Okay.
Unless it's what sets up the Batman Beyond movie. I don't know.
That would be perfect. I would love that. So, but yeah. So any other thoughts on The Flash then? Anyone?
Do you notice how weird and goofy Ezra Miller was?
He's always that way, right?
Yeah, it just seemed very, very apparent during the Flash panel, I guess. They would ask a question, he would say something totally random, and then they'd go back to answering what that question would be, like every single time.
But the difference is in his look between the Flash panel and then the Multiverse panel.
And then the Snyder Cut panel.
Yeah, that too.
He has a lot of looks.
I know, Zach, you don't, but if anybody follows any of the Harry Potter movies that he's in, I think his look in the Flash panel is fitting of his character in the movie.
Are they still making those?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, they did two so far, and they're going to do
There's
going to
be five.
Okay.
There's going to be five.
The Flash. I think we're all excited about seeing Batman in The Flash. I went from 0 to 110 in my hype for this movie now. So mission accomplished.
Just WB. From a cameo.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a cameo from Batfleck, but then Michael Keaton? That's right, the Batman of my childhood. Yeah. So like those two, I mean, yeah, sure. I'll watch the Joker in a movie if I can see those two guys. But seriously, all jokes aside, don't choke your fans, everybody. So, I mean, I know when I'm at conventions, I don't choke people as if I have fans. You guys are my fans, right? Let's move on.
good segue.
Let's talk about Wonder Woman 1984. Right? That's how they launched the day. That's the closest on the horizon. Yeah, I'm really excited for this. I was hyped for it. I love the first Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman is my second favorite thing in the DCEU after Batfleck. Yeah, I think it's great. The only thing that, again, I like, how are they going to handle Steve Trevor? I don't know. Like, it's like he's going to disappear or die again. At the end, Chris, what is your theory on Steve Trevor?
I have a theory. So in the trailer, they talk about, you know, you have
The Mandalorian. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the Mandalorian is he's got the voiceover saying you can have whatever you want, and then it shows her seeing him, yeah. And she's surprised. I wonder if he's not real, or it's not real, or something.
I felt
like
the
that.
Same
like
way when I saw
creation.
It too.
Yeah, that has to be it, right?
Yeah, I mean, even I think that because of how close you can see, like Patty Jenkins and Zack Snyder work together, I don't think that they're going to do anything that would go against the continuity of BVS or Justice League or whatnot. And she, you know, says he's been gone in 100 years and whatever the case. So I think that it's going to be some kind of not actually him,
yeah.
Or whether it's a, you know, like a vision, or if it's he's there for a while but he's not real or something like that. I think there's going to be some kind of twist to that that involves that character.
I agree. I think, you know, Maxwell Lord is the villain, played by Pedro Pascal, who plays the Mandalorian. That's why I call him the Mandalorian. And it seems to me he's using some kind of magic. I mean, that's what Wonder Woman fights, right? Magic. And he becomes the president with his magic, because he's at a White House podium, and then
looks
Wonder Woman is storming the White House and fights Cheetah there, and then Cheetah gets what she wants. And so, you know, Kristen Wiig is Cheetah. We didn't know if she was going to be like, is she just going to wear this like leopard coat, or is she going to like turn into a cheetah hybrid monster? And she is at the end. So the trailer revealed that. That's cool, I guess. I mean, I only know the Cheetah from like maybe a few comic books, and then of course on, you know, whatever they did with her on Justice League with the Injustice Gang. But cool, you know, I like Kristen Wiig as an actress. I think she's one of those actors that starts in comedy but can do serious and kind of go back and forth. And she's got the whole like, you know, Edward Nygma thing going for her, and it seems like, you know, she idolizes Wonder Woman and then jealous of her and stuff.
It was nice to see her in the panels today because she was not trying to be comedic. Like, she was enjoying herself, having a good time, like being kind of down to earth a little bit, and you're used to seeing your
exactly. I enjoy the panel. I like, you know, of course, these are very short. They have, like, no time to talk. But they were asking, like, everybody, like, what's your favorite memory? And Chris Pine's like, oh, we were shooting in Pennsylvania Avenue, and some kid came up to me and all this. And Kristen was like, can I change my answer? That was a really good answer. So that was a nice moment there. But Darren, man, what are some of your thoughts then on 1984 based on what we saw today or just in general?
I was already kind of amped for it. I think it's a really cool concept, and I can't wait for that Hans Zimmer score, man. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It was cool that Linda Carter showed up.
Yeah.
In the
surprise guest.
Yeah. But overall, I thought it was pretty cool. It was a good panel. It was a great way to start off.
I don't know what the release date is for that now, but who knows, right, with what is going on.
Who knows what any release date is for any movie anymore, except maybe Mulan.
Well, they put release dates on a lot of these movies that are coming out, like... they put dates on like Batman and Flash, I mean, didn't they? Like, say it's coming out this month or this year. I felt like I heard dates, but like Wonder Woman is actually done.
Yeah, as of right now, it has a release date of October 2nd, but I don't know if that will materialize or not. Which is, God, I can't believe they didn't release this last year, like November, December. Like, they could have made $1 billion and then been raking in the home video. Returns right now, but they can't compete with Terminator, Dark Fate, or Star Wars Rise of Skywalker. So
also, you know, back then they had two other movies. They had the Joker and Harley Quinn. So
that's true. Yeah, that's a great point, Casey. Joker came out in October and Harley Quinn came out in February.
Oh yeah, February, that's right.
But yeah, that you want to box yourself in. Like, I mean, they're not Disney, all right? They're not going to release a movie every other week like they do. I don't know what state the world will be in October. If it comes out, great. If not, I will definitely. This is a opening midnight weekend viewing for me. I love Wonder Woman and what they're doing with her. So, looking at the schedule, we talked about the multiverse panel. We talked about the Flash. Those were next on my schedule. Anyway. Are any of you guys gamers?
Not really.
Not really.
A little bit.
Meh.
I don't know that I would call myself a gamer, but I definitely play all of those games.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Like, I've played all the Batman ones.
So they had their big announcement about the next Batman game, I guess the next iteration of the Arkham games.
Is it, though? Like, I thought the Justice League one was from the guys...
Rocksteady? Because these are Montreal. These are the ones that did Arkham Origins, I think. I mean, again, we're showing that we don't know anything we're talking about video games. But
yeah,
but sure. the point is, was a cool trailer for it. It seemed to be really well received by, you know, my friends who are gamers or into that.
I think the Batman or non-Batman game is a very interesting concept. I mean, what would happen if Batman died? So I guess you find out if you play this game.
Batman leaving Gotham. What an original idea. I haven't seen that in every iteration of Batman over the last 20 years. But no, all jokes aside, you get to play as Robin, Batgirl, Red Hood. As I understand, you get to, you know, multiplayer, which is huge for the Arkham games. You can, you know, everybody on their headsets playing across the country. I think that's a lot of fun. Those games have really been holding on a torch for a lot of Batman content, and they look really quality. So, no, I think that's cool. And then later on, at the end of the day, they have their panel, and I think that is the Rocksteady people. Again, not a gamer here, but Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League. Okay, sure. I mean, I'm not going to buy it or play it, but people seem excited about it.
It's like it's not the game we want, but the game we're getting. I think they're going to do a good job with it. I did watch the panel. I saw the developer talk about it and what they kind of want to do with it, and they're going to give you the ability to do single player and multiplayer and jump in and out whenever you want. So like, I could play the storyline and get to a point where I want to have somebody online jump in and play the story with me, and you go back and forth between the characters, and then they can jump out again type thing. Doesn't have to be. So that sounds kind of cool, I guess. Not that I would do that, but I just, my one beef with these video games is how many Batman games do we have? We have a ton of Batman games. You can't do any other characters. You can't have a Flash, like Green Arrow or whatever.
Yes.
Superman.
You want a game that you can play multiple characters as. It's Justice League Heroes. Now, it's an older game. It's
probably
15
game.
Years old, yeah. But that's the only game I know where you can play a multiple DC.
So why are we getting a game where you can play as different Suicide Squad characters and try and kill them, Justice League? Like, come on, like, bring a Justice... They even teased it, like, with Brainiac and all that. Like, have a Justice League game.
Well, you know DC, they like to try to think outside the box because they think the obvious answer is too obvious.
Yeah, it's true. I've been championing since the early Arrow, Flash, Arrow seasons or whatever. They need to have a Grand Theft Auto type game where you're in Starling City and you can, I don't know if anybody's played the Grand Theft Auto games, you know, they have like three characters that you can jump between and they all have their own storylines, but they interconnect and stuff too. You could have that where you have like, you play as the Green Arrow, you play as the Black Canary, you play as
Red Arrow,
Arsenal or something like that. And yeah, all the different characters and you fight crime. Yeah, exactly.
Spartan.
You'll have the... I think that would be a cool idea.
Open world gaming is the key. I mean, that Spider-Man game on PS4. Like, I'm not a gamer, but I know all about that from the hype and everything, and that seems to be the template people really love. Missed opportunities back in the days with these, right? Because when Arrow was on TV, make an Arrow game. Get the voice cast. You alternate chapters. You're on the island, and then you're in Starling City. Like, the game writes itself. Like, I don't know what the, you know.
Stephen Amell did voices for Injustice.
Yes, that was great. You know, I always thought it'd be cool to have a Smallville game because what's the people always say about Superman? Well, he's overpowered. It's hard to do a game. Well, you have a younger Superman, and then you power up as the levels go on. You unlock abilities. Like, again, Smallville has come and gone as far as like they're never gonna make a video game about it. I understand, but you could do like a Superman game, and you start out, and the first like third of it is, you know, in Smallville, and then you starting in Metropolis. Like, get some people on this, you could do it. That would probably make me, being the Superman guy, I'm like, I love Batman, don't get me wrong, right? But, you know, Lance, being my best friend, I can hang out with him and watch him play the Arkham games, and then I like, get my Batman video game fixed. I will go buy a PS5 or whatever if we have a top-of-the-line Superman game, because the closest thing I found to that was Superman Returns. I don't know if you guys remember.
That game was awful.
Well, but it's this...
But it was cool. It had the open world type.
Yeah.
You can fly around.
It was a half-assed open world, but it was an open
half-assed
world.
Half-assed,
right?
Open world.
And then random... Metallo's here, right? And stuff with... I'm like, okay, better than Superman 64, where you're flying through rings and you're fighting a tornado, right?
Yeah, but then you know, the other half of the game, you're fighting dragons. You either use your freezing yes. breath on the heat ones or your heat vision on the freezing ones.
Superman 64, like, the worst game ever, I think.
Yeah.
You're right though, Chris. Like, everybody loves Batman. We just talk about a Flash movie. We only like it because Batman's gonna be, you know, it's like Batman is not the answer to everything. We all love Batman. We want a Superman game. What do they give us? Kill Superman. No, you misunderstood what I was saying. Like, anyway,
that did get my attention when there's like, oh, they have to kill Superman, and I guess the Justice League is evil in this thing or something, because
it's like an injustice thing. Because yeah, yeah.
It looks like they're being controlled, because he had the red around.
Yeah,
their eyes.
Yeah. Because I thought, is this an injustice spinoff? You know. Anyway, everybody loves evil Superman. What are you gonna do? So.
But I, other than that, I have questions about what they were thinking when they were dropping this. First, Will Arnett introducing it. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a Lego Batman movie. Or a Lego Batman game again, right. Or another one. And it's, I mean, that's fine. That's what I was expecting after it was Will Arnett. And then it starts with Harley Quinn and someone else and some of the other Suicide Squad members just chilling on a rooftop, and Harley Quinn's playing with rocks. Like, what?
You have to buy the game and find out, I guess. So, what a tease. Yeah, I'll watch somebody's review of it, I guess, and figure it out. But again, I'm not a big, like, the most games I've played in the last 10 years of my life are sports games, you know, pretty much. So,
do you guys watch Honest Trailers at all?
Yeah,
on
YouTube? Yeah.
Yep.
They do them for games now too.
Oh, okay. You know, I've seen they have done some in the past, but okay, so they're doing more. Probably running out of movies now. They got to do more games. So,
yeah. Well, getting popularity, got to give you more.
There you go. That's your video game coverage from this very knowledgeable panel about about modern video games. But who saw the Beyond Batman panel?
I did. At least I saw most of it.
What was that?
That was bizarre.
So it's called Beyond Batman. And they're like, Batman Beyond meets Batman 66. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. What they'll do, obviously, is they'll take some, they'll get Kevin Conroy and Will Freddy, right? Who, you know, what's his last name? Friedle?
Will Friedle.
Will Freddy, listen to me. They'll get those guys and they'll, you know, Adam West and Burt Ward did some animated movies. There's some voice tracks there. Perhaps the actual show. They'll put something together that's clever. No. They use stock footage of Batman Beyond. They have some new voiceovers for it. And it has Bruce and Terry intercepting a transmission from another Earth, Earth 66 in this case. And they basically MST3K Batman 66. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. So
I did learn something about it, though. I never knew until this thing that Cesar Romero's Joker had a mustache.
Oh, you didn't know that?
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. And honestly, that was my favorite thing of the entire DC fandom. I thought it was hilarious.
Something for everyone. No, I mean, truth be told, when I was watching it when I was younger, I didn't realize it. It's the Joker, right? But then there was a reunion movie called Return to the Batcave, and it had Adam West and Burt Ward in it. This is like the early 2000s. They were in the modern day, and there's some flashbacks about it. It was about the making of the show as well, so it was pretty cool. But then they have, like, where, you know, the Cesar Romero actor comes in and they're like, he's like, I'm not shaving my mustache. So they just paint over it. And I'm like, oh my God, was that real? And then I go back and watch. And I'm like, oh my God, there's a mustache there. So I guess that that makes it canon that Cesar Romero was a Heath Ledger style Joker and just painted his face white over his mustache. So that's how crazy he is. Oh, Chris, what did you think of that whole thing, man?
I actually didn't get to pay attention to it. I heard it in the background, so I did hear some of the Batman.
You missed stuff, nothing. But... I think. Yeah. I'm glad you enjoyed it, Casey. but that was, like, I expected, like, a real crossover or something. I don't know what I expected, but that was out of left field. I don't know. So then there was the Suicide Squad panel. I have no interest in this movie.
I was annoyed the whole time at how loud James Gunn was. It's like he was yelling. It wasn't that loud on my TV, but I could tell it was like he was yelling during that entire panel.
He reminded me a lot of Tom Cavanaugh in season one.
He did have that look to him, didn't he? I'll just go down the list here because I know that we had some fans request that I go down the list of who was in the Suicide Squad because it is confusing because it's not really it's like a vague sequel to Suicide Squad, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Is that what they're calling it?
I don't know, but I mean, you have well, here's the cast. We got Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. She's returning. Joel Kinnaman as Rick Flagg. He's returning. Viola Davis as Amanda Waller. She's returning. And Jai Courtney is Captain Boomerang. They're returning. Everybody else is new. And by the way, everyone else looks completely different than they did in the first one, too. I really like Harley Quinn's new costume, by the way. So I'm just throwing it out there. But we have Idris Elba as Bloodsport. Never heard of that character. Who's heard of that character? Raise your hand. All right, Chris, where have you heard from?
Well, like, just—I mean, kind of what they talk about. They said he shot Superman.
But like, where? Bullet. When?
No, I've seen. Isn't is, don't they use him as kind of the, doesn't he fight, like, want to fight Superman, like, have a fight? Or am I thinking of somebody else? I feel like in the comics, it was a setup. I have seen something in the comics. I could not tell you details, but I have heard of him.
The only thing that comes to mind about wanting to fight Superman was the, like, fourth or fifth episode of Lois and Clark, where it's
that's what I'm thinking of.
Boxers on steroid, or they're like android boxers or something, because they're using...
That Lois's dad is a cyberneticist in that particular episode. I'm like, well, that's not General Sam Lane. Anyway, then you have Alice Braga as Sol Soria. Never heard of her. Nathan Fillion as TDK. Never heard of him. Pete Davidson as Black Guard. Never heard of him. Michael Rooker, who is Yondu. Listen to me. Yondu, what an idiot. Yondu in Guardians of the Galaxy. And he's playing Savant. We have John Cena as Peacemaker, who he was described as a douchey Captain America. That's how he would self-describe himself. So I can totally see John Cena as that, sure. Then we have David Dastmalchian as Polka Dot Man. Did this guy look familiar to y'all? This actor? Yeah,
Dark Knight, right?
Yes, he is that. He's a paranoid schizophrenic. The kind of mind the Joker attracts. He's the guy with the name tag of Rachel Dawes and the that Harvey Dent's going to like blow his head off. And that was a great scene in The Dark Knight. So a very memorable character. He's also in a lot of Wendy's commercials from a few years ago. That's what I know him from. And then we have Storm Reed as Tyla. I don't know who that is. Sean Gunn, who was the body actor for, I believe, Groot. Or was it Rocket Raccoon? One of the two. And he was the on-set body actor for one of those two characters in Guardians. And he's, you know, James Gunn's brother. He's playing Weasel. So maybe he was Rocket Raccoon. That would make a lot of sense. And then finally we have Peter Capaldi, who's Doctor Who, or was one of the Doctor Who's. He's the Thinker, who appeared on The Flash a few seasons ago. So if that lineup does not excite you, I don't know what does, my friends. I don't know. I'm going to go see it. It's a movie that exists. Margot Robbie is in it as Harley Quinn. I mean, I'll go see it, but I have zero hype for this. Darren, are you excited for the Suicide Squad, or what do you think?
I mean, I'm kind of the same boat as you. I mean, I'm not overly excited about it, but I'll give it a shot. You know, I'll keep an open mind. It's not jumping out to me and like I need to see it, but I mean, I'm a fan of the characters and stuff. Some of them, I'm not familiar with a lot of them, but I'll go see it for sure and check it out.
Case, are you hyped?
Not really. I mean, I'll see it, but here's my thing. Why do they keep trying to do the Suicide Squad? I mean,
we can't get a Man of Steel sequel. We got a Suicide Squad sequel.
Is that even popular in the comics?
It was popular in the Arrowverse. So I'm saying, like, it's popular. Let's do that on the screen. Well, oh, by the way, I missed to my own point. Sorry, I'm like taking over now. King Shark is on here as well, who we know from The Flash and the Harley Quinn comic cartoons going on now. So King Shark is at this renaissance, this character. I believe Taika Waititi is voicing him. He was I know him best as Green Lantern's best friend from Green Lantern. But he's also a director of Thor Ragnarok, voice of one of those characters, and he's the voice of IG-11 in The Mandalorian. But yes, I don't know why the Suicide Squad is not like the most popular property in comic book films. So.
I mean, it's like, I just want to say to them, stop trying to make Suicide Squad happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. What about you, Chris?
It doesn't surprise me that they're making, because it sounds like what they're trying to do is they had all these ideas that didn't work out the way they thought they would. Batman v Superman, Justice League, the initial Suicide Squad, all this other stuff. But there were pieces of those that did well that people did like. So instead of recasting and starting over and creating a new universe, I think they're just trying to move forward and push through. And they're saying, we don't care that we're redoing stuff and it's confusing, and we want to take the pieces we like and mix it and do it again. So it doesn't surprise me. I want to say I'll see it, but I think it'll probably take me a while. I don't think I'll actually go see it. But I do want to know, is it replacing the other one?
No, it's a sequel.
The one? But they said it's supposed to be like in the 70s, right? Like a 70s war
movie?
Well,
in the style of one.
Oh, okay.
I caught that too. I was like, wait a minute, is this another period piece? Is this going to be rated R? Does anybody know? Or PG-13? They're probably going to PG-13 it. I didn't know if they were going to try to experiment with that.
With the tone they have, I'm guessing it'll be PG-13.
I mean, those costumes on some of these characters, absurd.
Polka Dot Man?
I mean, he's a comic character. But hey, you know, it's fun. I don't think, I'll just say this now, and maybe I'll be wrong. I don't think this movie's going to do very well. I don't think it is. Because you know what the big draws of the Suicide Squad were, the first one? Will Smith and the Joker. Even though I do not like Jared Leto's Joker, that's a draw for people to go see an Academy Award winning actor play the Joker. And they're both gone. Margot Robbie's in it. Margot Robbie's in it as Harley Quinn, but she was also in Birds of Prey. And, you know, so here we are. So is this a sequel to that, sort of, with Harley? Like, where does this take place in the timeline? I don't know. I don't think there's not an audience for this. There's not a demand for this. I think it'll do okay. I wonder how much the budget was with all these actors and stuff. You know what I mean? Hopefully it'll at least break even, but I don't see this making $500 million if they think it is. I just don't see it. So lots of hype for the Suicide Squad, excuse me. Putting the in front of things, it's become a thing. The Predator, the Suicide Squad, the Batman. We'll get there. There you go. So yes, we will of course see
the Ohio State University.
What's up with that? Very good.
I'm sick of Ohio State.
You know, there were some other panels in here. I just saw bits and pieces of them. I do want to talk about the surprise DC Comics panel. Hype online for this, because people are like, oh, it's a surprise DC Comics panel. I bet they're going to announce J.J. Abrams' Superman movie with Henry Cavill. Right, that's the hype. It's the buzz online. That's what people are wanting to see. It wasn't that. It was about Milestone Comics, a branch of DC Comics, which was made by, I forget the other guy's name, but Dwayne McDuffie was one of the founders of it. He played a large part in the DCAU, and it was predominantly African-American characters. Right? You had characters like Icon and Static Shock and Rocket, and Static Shock had his own show on the DCAU. But Milestone was, you know, it was a startup, kind of like Icon Comics was, where Jim Lee was, and then they kind of got, absorbed into DC Comics, and they merged, and now there is, a multiverse of that. And, Black Lightning has crossed over those characters as well. So there's an idea, perhaps, and they promised that, one, they're going to look into more live-action Milestone characters, which would be great. I'd love to see something come out on Black Lightning, and he's had some history with Static Shock, so that would be an obvious place to put him in. But also, they're going to relaunch Milestone next year, and they're going to release all their re-release all their back catalog of comic books, because they've been out of print for a while. So cool stuff, and they talk about the history of that. So I thought it was very interesting. I don't know why they made that the surprise panel. Why didn't you just say Milestone Comics panel? Like, but then with those same people who think it's going to be Henry Cavill Superman, they don't get that. They're going to be a little disappointed. So Darren, were you hoping for Henry Cavill Superman today, or what were you?
Oh yeah, big time. But I kept it open minded. And I tuned in and I was like, I thought this was supposed to be a surprise panel. And then I see a bunch of people on Twitter like, where's the surprise? When is the, did I get the wrong one? Like, they're all confused. And yeah, I mean, it's cool, but I think they kind of made it out to be a little bit more than what it actually was.
Well, and I think that's a disservice to the fans and to the Milestone panel itself, because you just put Milestone panel on there, people are like, oh great, okay, I'll check it out, whatever, you know. But if you put surprise and act like, what's it gonna be, and then you have that, you're like, well, what? Like, people are, when you say a surprise, you're expecting an announcement of some kind of like major ramifications,
especially when it's the only surprise.
Yeah, there wasn't multiple surprise panels on there. So again, I'm very happy about Milestone. I want to see more of those characters represented in live action and animation. But they should have just said Milestone panel. That's my take on it. We're gonna put a pin in the Snyder Cut. We'll wrap back around on that. There was a very a briefer Flash TV panel. Did anybody watch that one? Okay. I am not up to speed on the Flash, no pun intended. Are you, Chris?
I am.
Okay, so are you excited for season 7? Or?
I think that you can't help but be excited just because they didn't get to finish the season that they were working on. And there is a piece of that is very much in cliffhanger, don't know where it's going to go status. There was no big bad resolution like you would normally get on a season. So
because they had to stop like what, 2 or 3 episodes before the finale, right?
And I think they definitely did their best to wrap the storyline up, but it's going to continue on. So.
It helps that, like, almost every episode of every show, the Arrowverse ends on some kind of cliffhanger now.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, that's the season finale. Way to go. Now, Casey, where are you? You're, like, on season, what, 2 of The Flash in your rewatch? Or where are you right now?
No, it's not a rewatch for me. I'm watching
a watch.
Right. But the last thing I saw was shortly after Crisis on Earth X.
I started watching something else
to catch up on another podcast, so... Also, after the crossovers, it's almost like you're in no man's land, because it's so long to get to the next big thing to happen, being, you know, all the season finales. And then when the season starts up again, it's not that long till the crossover. It's the crossover is much closer to the season premiere than it is, you know, in the middle. So that's where I start to drag a little bit with the Arrowverse, is when it's after a crossover.
Now, Darren, are you up to speed on the Arrowverse? Do you watch the Arrowverse at all? I don't think we've ever talked about that. And if we have, I forgot. So I'm sorry.
You're good. Yeah, I so here's the deal. I used to be a big fan of the Arrowverse. And then about, I don't know, 2017-ish, it just, once it hit about that time frame when it was like season 3 of Flash, season, was it 4 or 5 of Arrow, I was just done with it.
I'm very similar, man.
Yeah. Season 2 of Arrow was amazing, too. And like that season was my favorite. Season 1 of The Flash was awesome. I mean, I used to be so hyped for that. And even like when Legends of Tomorrow was announced, I was like, awesome, they're bringing all that back, all these characters. And it just kind of fell apart for me, honestly. I think the tone and kind of the audience they were aiming for, I think, kind of shifted a little bit. I think they kind of lost me a little bit there. I mean, I'm still trying to catch up. I mean, a friend of mine actually talked me a couple years ago into watching season 5 of Arrow. And I've been putting it off for so long because I was like, season 4, Neil McDonough, I can't do this. And then I eventually got over it. And he's just like, no, it's darker. It's more like the season 1. I was like, all right, I'll do it. And it was a pretty decent season, I have to admit.
5 was a return to form. I definitely think so. I'm very spotty on Arrow after they killed Laurel. Spoilers. We already spoiled that for you, Casey. So I'm pretty
sure. Yeah, I had already.
So I'm sorry. I know we spoiled that. I'm very spotty. But I did watch a lot of season 5, though. And I agreed. It was actually like they pulled up from that nosedive, and it never got back to season 1 and 2 heights. But, you know, and then 6 and 7 were kind of sporadic, but I really thought they did a good job with 8 and finished it well. I've talked about that on the podcast. But no, you're right. Flash never, I mean, to my knowledge, I mean, Lance and Kev, who do Always Hold the Arrow, tell me like, Arrow, I mean, that Flash never recovered. It's still going down, unfortunately.
Honestly, I haven't been disappointed with Flash yet. And I think in season 4 of The Flash, which is around the same time as season 6 of Arrow. So that makes sense.
Well, what Darren said, it was like the shift in tone, and then just like the repetitive nature of every season. It's like, oh, there's somebody faster than me. I'm like, yeah. I'm the fastest man alive, my ass. Like every season, somebody's.
Well, that was obviously true in season 3 with Savitar.
Yeah, where he
was the fastest man alive.
He really was. Yeah, and then the ever expanding supporting cast as well was annoying. Like, how many people do we need to make the Flash the Flash? Right, we are the Flash. No, that's a running joke.
Yeah, it's they. They're constantly trying to build up everybody around the Flash to the detriment of the Flash.
It's like, we need another Legends Tomorrow to take all these characters away. Because that was what was going on. The Flash was getting so full, and all these supporting characters, and Arrow, too. They're like, and that's why they made Legends of Tomorrow. Like, all right, we got to get the Atom and Firestorm. We got to get them out of here. You know, Sarah Lance, put them on a spaceship and send them through time, right? And that's what they're doing.
I was really sad to see Professor Stein die.
That was...
I thought they were going to make him retire, but I guess they wanted to go for tears.
Just one day away from retirement. So panels like Titans, and then had like an Aquaman panel and a Shazam panel. Those panels were like, here's what we've done, because they have nothing else to talk about, because nothing's like, there's no scripts, there's no artwork, there's not even casting. Like, so it's just like they weren't talking about Shazam 2 or Aquaman 2 or anything like that. But what they were talking about, wrapping back around, was Black Adam. Now, this was exciting. I like Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. He's a very entertaining guy. I respect him as like just a businessman and entertainer. I mean, he just bought the XFL, so he's bringing the XFL back. So good for The Rock, right? Guys, they've been talking about this for years. Like, he even says in the panel, they've been working on this movie for 10 years, which I thought it was just like 5 years, because they've been talking about The Rock. I mean, there's a picture, I think it was like Christmas or Thanksgiving from a few years back. No, seriously, like 4 or 5 years ago, and it was like Henry Cavill and The Rock hanging out on Christmas, like, hey, Black Adam and Superman. I'm like, and that's why everyone was thinking, oh, well, Shazam 2 or Man of Steel 2, they're going to have Black Adam. It's going to be like an animated short. I don't know if you guys have seen that, where it's Shazam, Black Adam, and Superman. Ironically, Black Adam voiced by Arnold Vosloo, who played the Mummy, and Black Adam is pretty much the Scorpion King, who The Rock played in those Mummy movies. So I thought that was interesting. But they didn't have anything to show like from the film, but they had artwork from Boss Logic, who, if you're familiar with that name, you look him up on the internet. There's a lot of excellent fan art. I really recommend you guys check him out. Nerds like us just love scrolling through there. And then Jim Lee did some as well. And he kind of like talked through kind of the origin of Black Adam. And I didn't know who that guy was a few years ago. Like, I was like, who is the Shazam in a black suit with no cape? And he's an anti-hero, and that's what they're doing. And I don't know. These villain movies can be hit or miss, right? You know, for every Joker, there's a Venom, right? But at least in my opinion. But what do you guys think about Black Adam? Darren, what were your thoughts on this? You hyped for Black Adam?
Yeah, I missed the panel. But I went back and I saw like the Twitter posts and like the pictures and the essay, and yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm here. They're doing the JSA.
Yeah, and they're like Hawkman, Dr. Fate, and Adam yes. Smasher, and I'm like, oh, okay.
I can see your fate, Lois Lane.
Yes, let's roll that stock footage from hereafter, but roll it in reverse of the cape. I don't know what time period this takes place in though, right? If it's JSA, that's good. I mean, is this another Earth? I mean, I don't know. So that's interesting to me because I thought it was just going to be Black Adam like in ancient Egypt or something, but it's not. What about you, Casey? What did you think of this?
I did not see this panel. I'm not familiar enough with Black Adam to form an opinion.
Well, I got to tell you, The Rock looks exactly like Black Adam. So that's some excellent casting. And The Rock, he takes this seriously. Like, he was talking about like the motivation of the character and like where he comes from and his sense of justice and why he's an anti-hero. I'm like, hey, man, I'm picking up everything he's putting down for this. So not a character I would have given a movie, right? But you give a movie to The Rock, and I'm going to trust him to do with it what he will. So I'm very excited about this. And this is the big thing. This is the Henry Cavill perhaps tease everyone was hoping for. I don't know, but he's like, there's a question like, if you could team up with one superhero, who would it be? And he's like, oh, Wonder Woman. And everybody's like, oh, ha, ha. He's like, oh, no, she's really cool. And it's not what you think. And he played it off for last one. He's like, oh, but for real, though, Superman, because, you know, he's powerful, I'm powerful. Maybe we'd be friends, or maybe we wouldn't. We'll see. I'm like, oh, okay, there it is. But if he's fighting the JSA in his own movie, he wouldn't fight Superman. So I guess that would be Man of Steel 2, he fights Black Adam. I don't know. What do you guys think about that tease of Superman?
He did end it by calling the Justice League out. So if I was just going to fan rationalize this to see I get what I want, I think that the Black Adam movie would have to do with the JSA. And then I think there would be, you know, like you mentioned before, he'd gotten beat and he'll never go back to that again, or he'll never be again. I think maybe there's some kind of Wonder Woman type timeline where you have him against the JSA in a past. And then maybe he resurfaces again later and has to take on the Justice League or something in another movie. I don't know. The history of Black Adam that I know is just what he said today. And like everyone's been saying, I agree with you. The Rock sells me on it. So I will see it because of The Rock and hope that we get something good.
Based on what you guys are saying, it almost sounds like they're setting up for him to be a villain in the next Justice League movie after the Snyder Cut.
Maybe. I mean, there's just been so much history with him and Henry Cavill. I think that's inevitable, at least the two of them, if no one else.
It depends on what, I mean, who knows what their plans are for the future and, you know, what they're, you know, I'm sure they have an idea of where they want to go with that, obviously, if they're teasing it like that. It depends if, like you said, if it's going to be for a Justice League, is it for a sequel to the theatrical Justice League? Because I know it's not going to be for the Snyder Cut sequel if that becomes a thing. I'm assuming that's not going to be where he shows up, because it's the whole multiverse idea. So I mean, and I don't know, I mean they announced him back in 20, I mean, back when the original slate, he was actually cast.
Yeah,
he was supposed to be the villain in the first Shazam movie.
We all assumed that's where he would be in Shazam. Yeah,
yeah. And then I think when the, like, Jeff Johns, John Berg, I think when they took over DC Films and they kind of came up with their own slate, and kind of, I believe that's when that meeting with Henry Cavill came up with Dwayne Johnson and Henry Cavill. But I think that was before Justice League came out. So I think that was still during that regime, before everything kind of fell out and Walter Hamada took over. But I'll put it this way. I feel like contract negotiations probably weren't finished and they were hoping they would be with Henry Cavill. That's probably what happened. But
guys, we teased that secret panel, surprise panel. What do we got? We'll just put the milestone in there. Yeah. No, I would love to. I mean, it's a natural fit because Superman's weakness is magic and they're magic based. I mean, you look at Kingdom Come, you look at the Clash episode, it's called that Clash, the episode of Justice League Unlimited where Superman fights Shazam. It makes sense. So I'm all about it. So I'm willing to see where they go with this. So yeah, I'm excited for that one. Okay, so we had two last things to talk about. We have the Snyder Cut and we have the Batman. Which one would y'all want to go first and then end with? I'll leave it up to y'all.
Yeah, let's go Snyder Cut and then move into the Batman. Yeah.
Let's do it. Chronological.
We'll go in chronological order.
All right. So you guys take it away. I talk about this all the time. You know, Darren, what are your thoughts?
Me? What's the Snyder Cut? What? I've never heard of that. No, it was literally a dream come true. It was so awesome. I was like shaking for hours afterwards. It was all Snyder Cut footage. It was almost all new stuff. I mean, seeing what he was originally planning on doing, Black Suit Superman, Spikey, Steppenwolf, Darkseid. I mean, the whole thing, it was just from start to finish with the Hallelujah playing over it. It just reminded me so much of Watchmen.
That was the same track from Watchmen, right? I think the Leonard Cohen Hallelujah. Yeah.
And it was just, it was amazing. That's all I can say.
Very good. Very good. Casey, thoughts?
I did not see it. That must have been... Listen, the reason I stopped watching midway through the day was because it kept, eventually it would keep like swirling and trying to reload, and I just got tired of it, so I turned it off for a while. I was like, well, I'll just come back on later tonight around quote-unquote prime time.
Yeah, have you seen the trailer yet?
I have not.
Are you serious?
You're missing out, seriously.
Stop what you're doing now. We'll keep talking. Just watch the trailer right now, and then get back to us, all right? Just please. God's sake, man. All right, Chris, what do you think about the Snyder Cut trailer?
I'm very excited. I agree with everything that Darren said. For me, leading into it, kind of like the teases that he put out there over the past week, and some of the stuff they were showing at the beginning of the panel, I was starting to get a little worried because it seemed like a lot of it was very similar to what came out in the theatrical cut. But when he dropped that trailer, and it's so much new stuff, it reignited all that excitement. And
did you watch anything from Justice Con from a couple weeks back? Or
I did. Okay. I did. I don't know if you guys had or not.
So the only thing I watched of that was the Snyder panel, where he showed the exclusive clip. I'm not gonna lie, that was a little disappointing because I'm like, that is a deleted scene I already saw. You just turned his suit black. Yeah. But I get it. There was limited stuff he could show. That was fine. I was like, okay. This reignited my, like, I mean, I was always hyped for it. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. We're getting every shot of this is a longer show than I thought. This is like a 2.5+ minute trailer. Everything is completely new. That you have not, it's either an alternate, extended, or completely unseen scene from Justice League. And that shows you just how much was left. I hadn't heard that before. Spikey Steppenwolf, I like that. I mean, he looks like the monster we saw in BVS.
Yeah, I took that from Justice Con. How I didn't say the whole phrase of how Zach described it, but
oh, I see.
You get the idea. Yeah.
He was a little more chill on this in this one than he was on Justice Con.
This panel was cool because it, like, the focus, you had the members of the Justice League come in and they brought fan questions, so it was like very pre-recorded, very small snippets then, and then like a lot of the focus was what it took to get this cut out there, to have the people that he brought on that were involved, and that was pretty cool to see.
And you see why he has such a passionate fandom, because he loves the fans, and that's reciprocated. It's a symbiotic relationship, you know, with him and the fans, because, I mean, there was a woman from China who was like the first, you know, one who like lit the match here for the Snyder Cut, and he talked to her for a while.
Fiona.
There was another guy. I don't remember his name.
The first one was Fiona, and then it was Dexter.
Okay, yes, yeah. Dexter. He looked like he was getting interviewed for the Today Show. By the way, he was like on a white couch. I thought that was funny. Good. He gave those guys, both of those people, they like a long time to kind of talk about, like, you know, just give them credit where credit is due, because they really were the first cheerleaders for this. And then, of course, you know, I don't know if anybody signed up for, I got a Snyder Cut t-shirt I signed up for. So I got,
how did that promotion come out?
I don't know. Lauren Wynn sent me the link. She's like, you can sign up for this now. And it was like this morning. So I did. There was 1400 free shirts. So I got one, number 999, as I tweeted.
So you were also an associate producer.
Yeah, I am associate producer of the Snyder Cut.
I keep trying to buy it, but I can't get the page to load ever since I've tried.
Well, you know, it's just in high demand. Like, I'm sure that they're going to sell out, but there'll be, you know, all proceeds go to something, I'm sure.
American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
Yes, that's the one. Thank you. I didn't know the exact words, so I didn't want to misspeak, but thank you, Derek. I knew you'd be on it.
I gotcha. Yeah. I think Casey's watching it like multiple times over there. I don't know.
Casey,
I feel like he's just on. I feel like it's on repeat.
There was a secret code. All right. Well, he'll get back to us when he finished watching it. The aspect ratio is interesting. This is the IMAX ratio. I believe that's the ratio that it's in.
Yes.
Which was, hey, he shot it that way. Cool. Like, it's people are going to complain about the black bars on the sides of their TV now instead of on the top and the bottom. That already gives it a different look than the theatrical version, and it's just
so
really cool.
I got a question. In the beginning, the shot of Superman with the hole in his chest, was that supposed to be from BVS?
Yes.
It was Doomsday, wasn't it?
Well, no, it's my understanding that's a nightmare that Lois Lane is having about his death, or is that wrong?
No, it's from, well, because one of the rumored things about how the movie starts is it starts off either with a history lesson or it starts off from Lois's perspective of the events of the end of BVS. And what Zach had said on Vero was that, and why he says, like, in the lyrics in the song match perfectly when Superman has, like, the hole in his chest from Doomsday, and it goes, talks about, like, the perfect chord. It's because, like, when he screams, that's, like, the signal that out to the universe that lets, like, the, like, Darkseid and Steppenwolf and awakens the mother boxes and kind of sets forth the whole story. So that's kind of, like, how that, like, the connection with that.
The bell has been rung.
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
So, Casey, did you watch the trailer?
I thought it was interesting. I was a little confused as why it looks like a wasteland in the beginning, and there's like this big thing that says Justice League that's broken.
Well, that is from the nightmare future that we saw.
Okay.
Yes. So that is after, that is like, somebody like Cyborg or somebody plugs into a mother box has a vision of the future. That's my understanding. I don't know. There's a lot of this. We just don't know how it all connects, but we are going to see the Flash go back in time though, and tie into that. As I understand it, I might be wrong, but I think we're going to see him go back in time because Snyder posted those storyboards, I think, on Vero of like the Flash running back in time. And I think we saw like a shot similar to that in this trailer. So that'll kind of tie together with him running back into BBS and hopefully wrap up. I don't know where he ends up. That'll be interesting to see. But yeah, so that's the wasteland you see there. And that's cool. You see the Hall of Justice there that's in the wasteland as well. So, but no, I think it was an awesome trailer. I wish that we had the proper death of Superman, Return of Superman suit. But I understand they made him as Snyder said he wanted to do that, but the studio said no. We need a colorful, happy, jokey thing. So he's like, fine, we'll shoot it with the red and blue suit, and we'll change it later. And that's what we're doing. So fair enough. It's not the real Return of Superman suit, but this isn't the real direct translation of that. So fine.
Do you think they'll change how he was resurrected because of the dust rising at the end of BVS?
Yeah,
you know more than me, Darren. You're the Snyderverse expert here.
I don't want to give all these spoilers and stuff because I mean I've seen what Zach's talked about it pretty openly on Vero for years. So like he's talked a lot about in detail about a lot of what happens. Not everything. Like a lot of it's still new, but I mean there's a lot of stuff that I don't want to spoil or anything. But
yeah. Good. We don't want to be spoiled
unless you ask me.
No. I'm just looking for speculation.
It is different.
So if you have spoilers, I'll wait.
It is quite different. I mean, I know they're going to Star Labs and whatnot. So
yeah, because I mean, as you see in the trailer, Miles Dyson, Cyborg's dad, Joe Morton, Professor Hamilton dies. Right. I mean, and then Justice League, like, well, let's work together at Star Labs. It's a happy ending for him and stuff. So that's a clear difference. Clearly a different film, despite what some people on Twitter might think from the theatrical version. But
yeah, don't start on that.
No, we're not going to go there. But man,
blood pressure gets too high, and I just
Snyder owed him. Man, that was amazing. I loved it. Yeah, I think this really delivered. I mean, this needed to deliver, and it totally did. I was hyped for it, and my hype was met. I think that you know, again, this is like a two and a half plus minute trailer, and it's all new stuff, and even the old stuff looks better. Like to me, one of the most like, what is this shot? Was it's the Justice League standing on like the root the mountain. And it's black-suited Superman. And there's no, like, weird growth of alien plants in Russia or something.
Yeah.
Right? So, but they're going to get on the, you know, the helicarrier, for lack of a better word. I don't know what that's called. But, man, I'm really excited for this. Oh, and hey, we got some specifics, right? Snyder said that it's going to be released in 4 parts, 1 hour each. And then when they're done, as I had suspected, knowing how Zack Snyder operates with his films, there will be a ultimate edition, if you will, of them all together in one.
And a version in black and white.
Oh, really? I missed that. Yep. Okay. Of course.
Well, he didn't say that, but okay. It's pretty much for sure a deal.
The noir version.
Yeah, it's the chrome and steel. So I'll watch that with Mad Max Fury Road and Logan. I'll watch 3 in a row one day. But
there you go.
It'll also be called 2021.
I don't know if they're going to be weekly. I assume like Justice League month.
I would assume weekly. Yeah,
but you got to make people wait like a month, stay subscribed to HBO Max.
Maybe they spaced it out just enough where it's like maybe it's one of the months where it's like, oh, the first is on like the it lands on the first of the
new payments out of it.
Very clever, but hey, whatever, right? What do we fans always say? Like, I would buy 10 copies to see this version. Well, now's your chance. All right, I have subscribed to HBO Max. I've put my money where my mouth is. Zack Snyder's version of Superman, it's not my favorite. I'm on record for saying that, but I love his like ideas and interpretations of things, and like I respect the guy as a person, as a filmmaker, and I want to see him see this through. I love what he's done with Batfleck. I mean, he brought Gal Gadot in. By the way, Gal Gadot is apparently how you say her name. This is why I'm confused.
No. Because
Patty Jenkins called her Gal Gadot all day, so I don't know how to say her name anymore. So
at the first panel, I heard her. They announced her as Gal Gadot.
I know, but Patty Jenkins called her Gal Gadot. So,
yeah.
I would trust Gal Gadot herself, who I think said her name was. I guess
I just didn't notice that.
I'm sorry. I want to point something out too. I'll just make a reference that Mike Golan. I don't know how many of you follow the NFL. There was a Buffalo Bills quarterback called Tyrod Taylor, who went by Tyrod his entire career in Baltimore and Buffalo. And then he got to San Diego and suddenly said, oh, it's pronounced Tyrod. I just never corrected anybody.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah. So there's that. And maybe it's something like that. Maybe she just goes with the flow.
There was a pitcher on the Astros, Roy Oswalt. And he was on the.
I thought it was Oswald.
Well, it was Oswald for a few years when he first came into the league. And then they went to the World Series in 2005, and I think he's got more national presence. Like, actually, it's Oswald. So it's like, oh, wow, okay. Thanks for telling us.
Yankees pitcher Zach Britton changed the spelling of his name.
Come on, man.
Ocho Cinco, baby.
Ocho Cinco. Chad Ocho Cinco. So there's a precedent for this. But anyway, I'm very excited about the Snyder Cut. And, you know, maybe I'll be wrong. I enjoy calling my shot now. I would love it if the last, like, if it ends with a cliffhanger, you know, with like as it was planned, Darkseid's looking at them and it says, to be continued, Justice League 2, 2024 on HBO
as
Max.
As long as it is continued, though. As long as they do continue.
You know, you don't want a Masters of the Universe ending where there's no no actual continuation. Yeah.
And obviously, I'm all for that, obviously.
Right. I mean, we don't know. That is
the question
thinking.
Is the logistics of it too, because it's considered a pocket in like the multiverse. Zach described it as not being the regular continuity that they've now gone with. So, I mean, I think that's a huge kind of logistical thing in terms of, yeah, you're trying to make their own solo movies, and then you're thinking maybe you want to go continuity Justice League 2, or do you like getting all those people back to do Zach's, you know, second Justice League? Like, how do you? I don't know. I think there's some logistics things there. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of them would be happy to come back, but.
Well, and then, you know, tying back to that multiverse panel, they did say, like, okay, we have our TV, we have our movies, and HBO Max is like our hub, and we can have. So they're thinking in these terms, and I think they'd be foolish to just have no more original content for HBO Max. This is a huge drive. And then once this is done, I'm like, okay, should I stay subscribed? I have all this stuff on Blu-ray anyway, so I don't really need to stay subscribed. So they got to do something. Well, they are doing that Gotham. Look at this. What a great segue. They're doing a Gotham PD show on HBO Max, which ties into The Batman. So, The Batman, starring Robert Pattinson. Chris, what is your thoughts on The Batman, starring Robert Pattinson?
Going into this was, okay, another Batman movie. What's it going to be like? I'll probably see it, yeah. So the trailer leaked online before the panel, so I did see it before the panel. And I wasn't too impressed with the trailer. Like, I thought, this is cool, this is gritty, and it really felt like you might see the detective side of Batman, which is something that's awesome. But what really sold it for me was hearing Reeves talk about it. And set the tone for where Batman's at, what he's doing, that's kind of, and the way he talked about the characters and where it was going to go and how he treats Gotham City almost as like a character of itself, and that got me a little more excited for it. So I think that this will be, I think it'll do well. I think it'll be good. I'm optimistic. I'm more excited coming out of the panel than I was going into it.
I think the best part of it was when Matt Reeves was talking about it. I mean, at least we know it's going to be year two of him being Batman.
Yep.
The trailer, I understand they couldn't do much with it since they only had 25-30% of the movie filmed. But one thing that kind of stuck out to me, I mean, why'd they show a guy like, oh, this guy's crazy. He's just beating up a guy. I mean, why is he crazy if he's just beating up a guy?
All right, fair enough. Derek, what'd you think of the Batman?
Okay, so here's where I'm at, okay? So coming into this, I was very hesitant. I was very wait and see because I was so, like you, I was so amped and so excited for Affleck's version of the Batman. You know, talking about Arkham Asylum, Joe Manganiello Deathstroke, talking about going into more of that, you know, like the darker part of himself, the psychological aspect of him. And I was so amped for that when that kind of fell through. And hearing that Robert Pattinson's going to be Batman, and I was like, I really don't know. I came into this very, like, I don't know what to feel about it. I have to say, walking away from it, I didn't really walk away from it, I guess, because it was online, but I get a lot more excited about it, for sure. I mean, it's probably mostly, like Chris said, like, hearing Matt Reeves talk about it, too. I mean, he has such a way with words. I mean, I remember hearing, like, there was an interview I watched of him back in 2014 for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes with Christian Harloff, and I remember just hearing him talk about the movie, and just hearing him talk, you know, he's such a smart guy and he seems so passionate and so, like, such a nice guy, and obviously he's a great filmmaker, and he really talked me into it. And then seeing the trailer, I mean, I was almost blown away. I mean, I really liked the trailer. That tone they were going for, like he was saying, and getting really diving into the character, I totally bought it. I really did.
I, you know, was not interested in this at all. I didn't ask for this movie, you know.
Right, right.
Matt Reeves is a great filmmaker, right? And I agree. Like, he had a lot of good stuff to say. He almost had too much to say. I was like,
yeah,
let's get
to
it.
Yeah, I know.
He just kept talking that whole thing.
And Robert had, like, nothing to say, really.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I'm just here.
Right.
Anyway, the trailer is fine. I don't think it was hurt by the fact that it was only 30%, because think about what they put in trailers. Like, if you would have told me they completed the movie and this is the trailer they gave us, I would be like, oh, okay. Like, I don't feel like we're missing anything, because we see all the characters, we see Catwoman, Penguin, Riddler, we see Commissioner Gordon, we see Pattinson as Wayne and as Batman. I got to tell you, though, I hate the Batman costume. I hate it. I think it's terrible.
It's going to take some getting used to. I think I feel the way about the... How you feel about the Bat, like how I feel about it and you feel about it, is kind of like how you feel about the Flash costume with Ezra Miller.
Okay.
I think it's kind of a similar thing, but okay. I'll get used to it.
So I just, like, we've had, this is coming off like the perfect Batman suit in Batfleck. I was like, thank you. Finally, straight off the comic books. Like, again, Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne as Batman is straight out of Batman the Animated Series, straight out of the comic books. And we get this guy. I'm like, this is not, no, this is a step back. Like, honestly, other than like the Batman and Robin ice suit, like, this is the worst live action Batman suit. I like all the Burton movies. I love actually the Sonar suit and the Panther suit from Batman Forever, even though it has the nipples on it. The Nolan suits are better, right? I just, like, he looks so goofy. Like, I need to see more of this to be interested. Like, my hype was zero. It's still at zero. I know people are losing their mind over the trailer, like, oh my god. Sure, I mean, Catwoman is wearing a ski cap. Like, I'm like, can we, I feel like it's all a step back. Like, what I was so excited about Batfleck was we have an established universe of Batman, right? We have established villains and, you know, and all that stuff. And now it's like, because in the panel he said many times, it's not an origin, but it's kind of an origin for the villains. I'm like, I don't want an origin for the villains, but whatever. It's fine. We're seeing the Riddler do Riddler things we haven't seen before. I mean, I love Jim Carrey, Batman Forever, for like its own reasons, but that... Yeah, it's not very representative of what the best Riddler should be. I didn't recognize Colin Farrell. He was unrecognizable with his, you know, I guess, nose appliance, and he's, you know, Oswald Cobblepot. So I don't know, guys. Like, my opinion has not really shifted. I'm disappointed in the costume. we didn't really see much of Pattinson do his thing in the trailer, so I'm obviously going to go see it. It could be great. I don't know.
He punched a guy like 5 times.
He punched that guy. Oh, that's you know what? Had he said, "I'm Batman," I might have been sold. But he said, "I'm Vengeance." I was like, no, that's not the line. The line is, "I'm Batman." So anyway,
he's probably like, that was probably like cut for the trailer, and like he probably actually says the whole phrase, but you
know, I am vengeance, I am the knight, I am
I was
Batman.
Waiting for I am the knight to come back and nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm predisposed not to like this. Maybe it'll win me over. I don't know. I know the entire internet is losing its mind over this. And I'm like, okay, it's whatever to me. Like, I have plenty of live action Batman I'm very happy with, so I don't really need this, you know. Like,
one thing I liked about it was at the end where he takes his mask off and you can actually, he actually has eyeshadow on after he's got the mask off, because when has a movie Batman ever taken his mask off before and the eyeshadow's still been there? It always magically disappears when they take the mask off.
Yeah, it's just like that. I get that it looks cool, but like, to me, you're going out to fight crime, you're going to take some time to put some makeup on.
Well, that is something that people have talked about for a while, and I understand why they don't do it, but it would be interesting to see one day in a Batman version for him to have the white lenses, you know? That would solve that problem, if he had white lenses for eyes.
So kind of like the mech suit from BVS? Is that what you're kind of saying, with like the glowing eyes?
Yeah, okay. Something like that. Maybe they don't even have to glow, but something like that would be like, because that's comic book. That's what you see. Now, the Marvel Universe has gotten around that with Spider-Man because he has the eyes that move and stuff. I don't know about that. I don't want the eyes to move, but that's one way to get around that. Because you're right. Like, well, even Green Arrow and the show, like, God, let me put this grease paint around my my eyes before I run out. I can't save the day until I get this on just right.
Especially when you're pulling your costume out of a garbage can and running up the stairs.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, you know what? I'm going to be hard on this movie. I am. That's just going to be the way I am. I'm drawing my line. But I'm getting Affleck again as Batman and Michael Keaton. So I'm like, whatever. Like, to me, like, if I weren't getting that and I was getting this, I'd be more upset. But it's like, okay, fine. Lots of Batman. Batman for everyone. Everyone gets a Batman. Fine.
That's the whole thing they pitch with the multiverse. Everybody wins, right?
Well, and to wrap it up here, right? They specifically say, they're like, we can have Matt Reeves do his Batman over here, and then we can have the Justice League with Gal and Ezra and Jason over here. And I was like, wow, guys, that was some very specific language. Well done. Because you don't know. You're like, is it Henry? Is it Ben? Is it, like, who is, right? They just leave them out. I'm like, there is no way they're going to do a Justice League movie without Batman and Superman. So they're going to figure that out at some point, either be on HBO Max or in the theaters. They're going to figure that out. So
at the same time, I mean, you can see there's Ben. I mean, Ben has come out and said that he needed a break and he needed to step away from life, and he's in a different phase of his. But Henry Cavill's like, he's working. He wants to work. He's out there. He's expressed interest in being it. Like, they can make it work.
I think it's just business with them. I think it just comes down to, I don't know, contracts, money. I don't know what it is, because, I mean, it seems like, what's the problem here, right, on the surface? But who knows? I guess, you know, one last thing then before we go. Release the Schumacher cut? Is that happening? I thought Val Kilmer was going to be at FanDome. Did that not happen?
Maybe in the fall?
I mean, this was the movie day, though. So I thought if they were going to say... I thought the special announcement was going to be Batman Forever, the director's cut, I thought. I would have loved that. I would have been like, the best thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd been awesome.
I don't know. Maybe it's still coming at some point. They gotta find a work print. They gotta clean it up. I understand what's going on there. But
so you know what I did hear, though, kind of like beforehand about the special announcement. Someone had predicted or guessed that they thought the Ben Affleck news was supposed to drop during that panel at DC Fandom, since it was the 7 years later after he was cast. Like, they thought that, I think what happened that someone had suggested was they thought it was going to leak and get out like before that, and that's why that's why they went to announce it during the week or whatever.
Maybe.
So,
I don't know, guys. Well, you know, on the whole, I think this was a success. You know, I mean, of course, we have our nitpicks here and there, but this wasn't like, I was satisfied with this. I didn't expect some kind of earth shattering. I already got my earth shattering news this week when Ben Affleck and Michael Keaton are coming back officially as Batman. But it was like a celebration of what's going on and what has gone on, I think. And I think it was a success. And I hope they do more of these. They seem to act like it's going to be an annual thing. There was a lot of the first annual FanDome. So I don't know. Would you guys spend another afternoon? I mean, I guess we all are in September anyway. But if they did these again, would you guys be excited to see another FanDome?
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
I'd be interested in seeing the stuff from it. I don't know if I'd sit through it again or at least have it on all day. I'd probably want to just see the highlights.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, it's not for everybody. I mean, like, you know, you just kind of have it on. I think that's what's cool about this. You can kind of have it on in the background. And then if you miss something, you can go, you know, they post pretty much everything that they do. At least the trailer part, the actual content part, the panels and stuff they don't. But, you know, a lot of that stuff is they're going to say again in some interview, right?
I think it's important that they don't do it too frequently. And that when they do do it, that they do have big guns that they can pull out that make it worth it.
Well, cool, guys. Well, this worked out very well to podcast the night of. Thanks, you guys. It's been a long day being on the computer for all of us to various degrees. Mm-hmm. So thank you for being patrons on Level 33.1. I'm glad we were able to have this conversation together. But yeah, let's go around the table here. Chris, if people want to find you out there on the internet, man, where can they find you?
I'm on Twitter, at CRFuke7.
Very good. What about you, Casey?
Twitter, CaseyCochran53.
Alrighty. And Darren?
You can find me on, well, most social media sites. That's at my name, Darren Kirscht, or on Twitter at DarrenKirscht16.
Very good. Very good. Well, I guess we'll be back next month with DC Fandom Part 2, because we can plan it that way. That would make sense to me, right, to have a roundtable that night if you guys are down for it. So it's a fun way to recap everything and talk it all through. And is there any earth-shattering TV news? That we're expecting? I don't know. Well, we'll see. Well, maybe they'll surprise us. I mean, I have really no expectation for it. It'd be fun. But no, I agree. They got to do these, like, you know, once a year. Like, they can't do these, like, quarterly or biannually. Like, that would completely... I mean, they're moving. I mean, who knows what state the world's going to be in next year. Hopefully, we'll all be back and be able to go around and live life as normal. But even so, these digital conventions are a great idea, I think. Because you can feel like... Because if you were really there, you would miss half the stuff you want to see anyway. So... I think this is a great idea. So good on you, DC. I give you credit where credit is due. You did good here. So, alrighty, y'all. Well, more on Zach from me on Twitter. Always Smallville with 1S on Twitter. Always Hold on to Small on Facebook. And Always Hold on to Smallville's email is alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Look at that save, everybody. I almost said the wrong thing. So until next month, where we talk about the rest of DC Fandom, always hold on to Smallville and everything else DC. Always Hold On to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cavante Chillis, Dallas Hernandez, Casey Cochran, James Bandini II, Darren Kirscht, Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, Thomas Navin, Joe Mikendo, Steve Rogers, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarella, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sachi, Rachel Miller, Catherine Emmerich, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Nathan Rothatcher, DJ Doina, Corey Moore, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Kathleen Holland, Will Hunt, Clunk Kent, Joey Deinberg, Tom Gerke, T. Hamill, Nicholas Coso, Jared Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Anthony Anderson, and Jasmine Magelli. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with 1S. Hope to see you there.